Today is the 1st of July, 2017. The July 4th weekend. Many people will be shooting off their firecrackers, their Roman candles, their fountains, and their cherry bombs, their black cats, and having a high old time, which is fine. And all in the name of patriotism. Patriotism. Trump said patriotism would do away with all discrimination. Oh boy. Well, Trump, I've got news for you. There's only one thing that's going to do away with all discrimination, and that's when the New Jerusalem comes down out of God, from God out of heaven. Because every form of discrimination and hate and envy and strife is a result of sin, Donald Trump. Well, I have good news. We did get the book in today. They really did a good job on it. There are a couple of mistakes of mine in the book, so overlook them, nothing major. But overall, I think that Digipod did a really good job on the book. It ended up being 127 pages. If you want the book, all you need to do is send me an email, and I'll get you the information as to how to get the book. I'll get you the address. It's $12 plus shipping. I think we're going to charge $3 for shipping and handling, $15. And we'll get the book right out to you. It's Phillips versus the state of Missouri. Social worker refuses to license homosexuals and is fired and wins a lawsuit against the state of Missouri. And now his update and insights after 20 years, as well as his wife's perspective. So, has a chapter in here of my wife's thoughts as well. The email is rothmillerstewart@gmail.com, and don't ask me why I ever made such a long email. That used to be the name of my company when I was selling businesses. Roth Miller Stewart, all lowercase, at gmail.com. Roth Miller Stewart. I've been handed a little, we're having a service tonight at the request of Mark. Wanted to have a service, and he has selected page 30 in the old school, 33, I'm sorry, in the old school hymnal. And Mark, do you want to start that for us?
Songs of sublime adoration and praise, ye pilgrims for Zion you press, break forth and extol the great Ancient of Days, his rich and distinguishing grace, his love from eternity fixed upon you, broke forth and discovered its plain. When each with the cords of his kindness he drew, and brought you to love his great name. Oh, had he not pitied the stage you were in, your bosoms his love had ne'er found, you all would have lived and have died in your sins. and sunk with the load of your guilt. What was there in you that could merit esteem or give the Creator delight? 'Twas even so, Father, you ever must sin, because it seemed good in thy sight. 'Twas all of thy grace we were brought to obey, while others were suffered to go the road which by nature we chose as our way, which leads to the regions of woe. Then give all the glory to his holy name. To him all the glory belongs. The earth a high pleasure to sound forth his fame, and crown him in each of your songs.
Okay, the next one is page 40, Psalm 72a in the Psalter. Page 40, Psalm 72a.
Yeah. Oh God, my judgments give the King his reigning Son of righteousness. He to thy people right shall bring, with justice shall thy poor redress. The height shall bring prosperity, the hills bring peace by righteousness. He'll judge the poor, the wrong set free, and crush the men who them oppress. Till sun and moon no more are known, they shall be fear in ages all. He'll come as rain on meadows mown, and showers upon the earth that fall. The just shall flourish in his day, while last the moon shall peace extend. From sea to sea shall be his sway, and from the rivers to earth's end.
Okay, the last one. We're going to sing, before we transition over to the other part of our service, is 42, and we're marching to Zion. We're not Zionists. We don't believe in the Zionist movement. We don't believe in the Zionist churches. We don't believe in an earthly kingdom. We don't believe that the Jews, all of the Jews, are God's chosen people. If they were God's chosen people, they would be proclaiming the praises of the Messiah. But we are of spiritual Israel. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but inwardly, circumcision of the heart. And so we're marching to Zion. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. The children of the heavenly King, the children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. Let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Well, I want to apologize to some of the people that I used to call more frequently, and maybe I think I owe y'all an explanation. I've been pretty busy writing these books and also the Lord has, as you all know, if you've listened to the message, has put it on my heart to do this second book on exposing the lies of free will as kind of a third adjunct to the first two books. And after that, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you'll give me a respite. I wanted to share with the sermon audio listeners, I had something really unusual happen the other day, and Rosette just shook her head, sort of. But we were in a gas station, and I looked over and saw one of these construction trailers, like they use on construction sites. A guy pulled it in there and was stopped to get some gas. And I looked over at that, and our property, if you ever come out and visit us, you'll see we're on the we're on the side of a mountain, and so we have a flat stretch of land that goes for about 150 feet, or probably even a little bit longer than that, maybe 200 feet, and we have our mobile, and then we have our camper. And then now we have this new little building we put here for our little worship center. And then we have our metal shed to store our lawnmower and stuff like that. And then right next to that we have, about another 35 foot of land right there. And I was just thinking, this little building we got here is a nice little building for up to 10 people, but if we wanted to have maybe 20 to 25 people, we wouldn't be able to get them in this little building, but we could get 20 to 25 in that 32-foot building over there, this little construction trailer. So I go over to the guy, and I said, "Hey, you don't want to sell that trailer, do you?" He said, "A matter of fact, I do." And it needed a lot of work on it, it needed to be painted, and it had all kind of stuff on the inside of it and everything else. But anyway, I said to him, "What will you take for it?" I said, "What's it worth?" He said, "Well, if you pay me cash today, I'll take $400 for it." I said, "What?" I said, "Sold." Okay. And so he brought it over here, and so we've been working on that. You say, "Well, why are you doing this?" And no, Chris, I'm not into brick and mortar. In fact, there's no brick or mortar on this little trailer. But I believe house churches, I think God would condone a $400 church, okay? I think he would condone that. Most people, most churches give $400 for a bench, for a pulpit, for a pew. Well, if I can get a whole church for $400, that's not too bad, is it? So, anyway, Rosette and Mark have been helping me on that project. We got the front of it all painted and most of the front skirted. We got it all pretty much all cleaned out. Mother Day, and it'll be cleaned out. And I'm going to go in there and paint it up and everything, and we'll have enough. So if 25 people want to come up, finding 25 people that believe in election and predestination and meeting at the same place, that would be something, wouldn't it? Anyway, I just share that little story with you. So if you all feel jilted, it's because we have been busy. And, you know, and I also want to tell you, if you, we have voicemail. So feel free, if you try to reach us and you're unable, leave a voicemail and I will get back with you within a day or two. You know, and I may not be able to talk for, you know, 2 hours, but I my thinking is that after about an hour, if you haven't said what you're going to say to people, then why don't you conclude it and make it another hour at another time? Anyway, that's just my thoughts on that. Anyway, tonight, I've been thinking quite a bit about the reality of what happened in the New Testament whenever the Gentiles were brought in. You know, we know that there was a prophecy that he would be a light unto the Gentiles. And I can imagine, and I'm sure you all can imagine with me, the hostilities that must have taken place from the Jews whenever the Gentiles, whenever Paul and Peter started ministering as well to the Gentiles. Can you imagine? I mean, for all these years, the Jews were by and large God's people, and all of a sudden the Gentiles are being ministered to and brought in. And I want to look at a passage of scripture in the 15th chapter of Romans. Beginning with verse 1, he says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, for even Christ pleased not himself, but it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth glorified, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Notice he didn't stop there, though. Okay? He didn't stop there. He said that Jesus Christ was made a minister of the circumcision for the truth to God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. But he also said, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. I'm going to have to get me a drink of water here. Hold on just a second. I had mine. Got a little frog or something in my throat. Maybe the good Lord wanted us to think about that for a minute. That the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, that was quite a message, wasn't it? Here these Jews had been hearing the truth, and now the Gentiles are being brought in. You know, there's a lot of people that have an air about them. Well, that person could never be a Christian. Look at their past life. Look at where they came out of. Look at their family. And on and on and on. Well, Scripture is full of examples that Christ said he didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And that included Mary Magdalene. That included Zacchaeus. That included the lady at Samaria. And it also includes you and me, if we are one of his, for whom he's died. Look in the 21st chapter of Acts. Beginning with the 17th verse, and when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. The day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. You know, I've had people say, well, why do you give reports on sermon audio, you know? What's the reasoning for that? The same reasoning that Paul gave here. He declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they didn't start murmuring, complaining against him, giving him a hard time. When they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we may say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them, so on and so forth. Well, you know, people get steeped in their traditions. And they want everybody to do things the way they do things. I even had a person tell me one time, we went to visit the Trinity Baptist Church, first time we'd ever been there, we went in and sat down. A lady come over and says, "You're sitting in my pew, I want you to know." Well, it ended up kind of got to be a little bit touch and go there, didn't it? Verse 30, "And all the city was moved, and the people ran together. They took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith shut the doors. They went about to kill him. Tidings came unto the chief captain of the board that all Jerusalem was in an uproar." You know, whenever you come against people's traditions, they're going to come out of their corner barking, aren't they? Like a dog coming out of his corner. Verse 34, "Some cried one thing and some another among the multitude, and when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle." And verse 37, "Paul was led into the castle. He said unto the chief captain, May I speak unto thee? Who said, Canst thou speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar?" And so on. But Paul said, "I'm a man, which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak to the people," and so on. Now, Paul is giving his little rendition to the people here about the history, about his conversion, about what happened to him. And he tells about how that he came to understand the gospel. And he tells about this will of God for him. And he also goes into the reality that the reason he was telling his own personal testimony is to be able to show that God's purposes was not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. Look in verse 20 and 21. "And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." You know, Rosette was saying to me earlier today, you know, "I don't think there's that many in the United States that are going to be interested in your book." Probably. Because people are so into Arminianism. People are so into free will. People are so into, you know, even the ordination of homosexuals in their churches. Being gay is okay and all that stuff. She says, "Maybe we ought to get your book in the hands of some people out of this country." You think this might have had something to do with Paul saying, Christ saying to Paul, "Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." The Jews thought they had it all figured out, didn't they? They thought they had a handle on everything. And God had other plans. Now, what happened when he told them what Christ said about going to the Gentiles? Man, they did not like it at all. Verse 22, "They gave him audience unto this word." Up to that point, they listened to him. "And they then lifted up their voice, Away with such a fellow from the earth. for it is not fit that he should live. They cried out, cast off their clothes, and threw dust into the air. Well, that's what some people are doing in the United States. And that's what they're going to do when they see this book, too. When I'm showing in this book how the change happened, there are all these supposed Christian leaders were behind me and everything else. In fact, in this book, where I did thank the people for their support, I now have taken back my thanks. As I say right in the book, original supporters who we discovered later are 95% Armenian false teachers and preachers. And I name these organizations, including American Family Radio, Moody Press, Family News and Focus, Christian Broadcasting Network, American Center for Law and Justice, Alliance Defense Fund, Point of View, Family Research Council, Campus Crusade for Christ, Mott Broadcasting, Focus on the Family, and so on. They found out I was proclaiming the sovereignty of God. Away with them! Okay. They listened to me up to that point, but when I started proclaiming the sovereignty of God, they lifted up their voices and said, away with this fellow from the earth. Well, I've had several different people who I respect quite a bit have said, get ready for the persecution, brother. You know, God is faithful to us, whatever we have to go through. And, you know, just like the Jews didn't like the fact that they were bringing the gospel into the Gentiles, people in the United States don't like it when you're exposing the lies of the free will doctrine. They don't like it. They hate it. But you know what? Somebody needs to expose it. I thank God for the people that are exposing it, like Edward Henry. His book, The Anti-Gospel, is a very excellent book. If you get a chance, I would very highly recommend that you get that book. Now, in the very last chapter of Acts, the 28th chapter, we see the same thing that's happening today. The 24th verse says, and some believe the things which were spoken, speaking of Paul, because he was teaching these things. Some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, that I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. That's quite a statement by Paul. He's telling the Jews, hey, you're be it known unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. They will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. Notice he didn't stay in a mega church or a big temple or a big synagogue. Stayed in a rented house. and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. God opened the door for Paul. God's opened the door for us here in Little Pineville. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Exhort, rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. Do we have a final selection? How about 174? As thirsts the heart for water brooks. William Bradbury. It's taken from the 42nd Psalm. As thirsts the heart for water brooks, so thirsts my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks, and longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to see. Far from the course of God, my tears have been my food by night and day, while constantly with bitter sneers, where is thy God, the scoffers say, where is thy God, the scoffers say. With grief I think of days gone by, when oft I trod the hallowed way to Zion, praising God on high, with throngs who kept the holy day, with throngs who kept the holy day. Oh, why art thou cast out, my soul, and why so troubled shouldst thou be? Hope thou in God and him extol, who gives his saving help to me, who gives his saving help to me.
Page 173, O God, our help in ages past.
Okay, Mark wants to sing 173, O God, our help in ages past. You want to start that?
O God, our help in ages past.
No, it goes... Now you've got me.
Our hope in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home under the shadow of thy throne. Still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, our earth received her frame. From everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal home.
Well, I hope the good Lord will be with you all this holiday weekend. And shoot a firecracker off for Jesus, will you? Shoot a Roman candle up to Jesus. Okay. Rosette's shaking her head at me. Listen, it's okay to have a sense of humor, but I hope that God is with each one of you. And I want you to try to join me Monday night. I know it's... I know it's July 4th Eve, Monday night, you know. I know you're planning your big patriotic celebration. You have watermelon and firecrackers and family reunions and all that. But we like to have a talk shoe. And I think I sent the announcement out. Hopefully everybody got it. It's entitled The Influence of the Lie of Free Will on the United States of America. And it has had a tremendous influence even on our founding fathers and our founding documents. I.e., all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. For starters. Oh my. All right. Well, listen, have a good evening, and may the good Lord be with you, is our prayer.